Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of the Summer Library Podcast. I am Paul Sorrell, joined as usual with T.R. Parker. T.R., we have been on hiatus.
We have, but we're back with Season 2.
I know, I feel like a reality show or something.
No, it's like, I don't know if any of you have been following, I've seen a lot of email back and forth amongst actually union faculty talking about the new series on PBS, Downton Abbey. They're in Season 2 now, and supposedly the thing is a huge hit.
I have not seen it.
It's kind of have either of you seen that?
Yeah, you're more culturally aware than I am.
Well, I've just seen a lot of things posted about this show. I've actually gotten into it. I shouldn't say that, but they're in Season 2 now, and it's been highly promoted.
I watch Mob Wives. No, I did. That's a show on PH. It's a train wreck. I'm embarrassed to say that. I do.
Just scrap that part.
Yeah. I just saw one episode, or maybe two episodes. I don't know. A bunch of bleeping and fighting.
Well,
this is not good to watch.
Yeah, Mad Men was all the rage, I guess, about a year ago or a semester ago. And, of course, we did the Mad Men advertisements for the research coach. But, Downton Abbey is the new thing, at least for PBS watchers. I guess there are other things going on that I don't know about. I think there's an HBO series that's really popular right now. I forget the title.
Okay. Yeah. Did you see any movies over the holiday break?
I saw The Adventures of Tintin.
I saw that.
Yeah. Did you like that?
I did. Did you see it in 3D?
I did. It was expensive. I walked up and I had my nephew and niece, and it was a matinee even. They were like $30. I was like, man.
$30 a ticket?
It was $30 total, but still.
That's a lot of money.
To watch a recording, you know? Not even a live performance.
But it's in 3D.
It's in 3D. But it was really, really well done. I thought the character of Tintin was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Very British and just very well done. Really popped off the screen. But not in a sort of annoying way or a way that would have given me a headache. I enjoyed the story.
Right.
It was well done.
And, of course, they left it for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was coming. I mean, it was just right there, and I'm sure there'll be two or three of those things.
Oh, sure. Anything they can do to make a buck, they will.
Yeah. Well, speaking of making a buck, James Cameron's about to make a few more bucks. I was at the movies the other day, and a trailer for Titanic in 3D is coming to theaters in April.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, how much money does this guy have to have?
Yeah,
do we really need Titanic in 3D?
No, yeah.
I enjoyed Titanic, but 3D, I don't know.
Yeah.
But when I was at Tintin, there was this really cute thing that happened. There was some children sitting in front of me, a few rows. And, of course, it's in 3D, and this stuff looks like it's coming out at you. And all through the movie, a couple of them were just reaching out to try to grab the things and touch the things that were coming at them. Of course, you know, it was pointless to do that, but it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
and then
was.
I started doing it, and I thought, man, what can I touch? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's
a joke. Did you see any other films?
I did. I saw several over the holidays. The last one I saw was War Horse.
Oh, yeah.
And that was good.
Which was based on a Broadway play, right?
Yeah, which was based on a novel. So, that was entertaining.
Did anyone see Hugo Cabret? I know you had checked out the book.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
film.
I really wanted to, and it was playing here in Jackson last week at the movie theater closer to downtown, but I just didn't get a chance to go. So busy with library stuff. But that book was beautiful, was it not, Melissa?
It's gorgeous.
I got a chance to go to a Barnes & Noble's with my niece, and we sat there and read some of that together. And it's a really neat book, so beautifully illustrated.
Yeah. And joining us today, this female voice from beyond, is Melissa Moore. Hey, Melissa.
I'm glad to be here.
Happy first episode of Season 2.
And my first podcast.
And your first podcast, yes.
We're happy to have you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about all the stuff you're involved with in the library in a few minutes.
Okay.
So you just join us anytime you want to. You just pop
in.
I can do that.
Just speak right into the microphone and make us all happy.
I'll do my best, Paul.
I feel like Saturday Night Live skit with the women on PBS.
Yeah.
Or
is that the Christmas one?
Yeah. You know, oh, yes.
Paul, I cut.
No, whatever. I mean, whatever they say, you know, it's that NPR type feel. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, whatever.
Well, I'm very,
very nice,
aware of my southern accent, so I'm trying my best not to.
You have a southern accent?
Actually, it's sort of nice right now. But I definitely do remember remember that. Like when I did my phone interview here, and I think I've said this before, I was just so startled. It was such a strong, and I don't believe it was just you, because I believe that Beth was on that phone interview as well. And so between
was.
You and Beth, I thought this is a very Southern place. But now that I'm here, I might even be developing a bit of a Southern accent myself.
If you stay as long as I have, we'll definitely have you talking right.
Now, how long have you been here, Melissa, actually?
Actually, I started in fall of 92.
Fall of 92. So
I'm coming
so
close
this is
on
20
years.
Wow. So do you get a 20-year
Not
bonus
until I finish 20 years. Okay. I've got another year and a half to go.
Well, that'll be exciting.
So, yeah.
I'm sure that'll be nice.
Be cool.
Yeah. And you have a son here at the university.
My oldest is a freshman at Union. Music major.
Okay.
And
delightful young man.
And two girls. Yeah.
Yes, two girls.
But they're not at Union.
No, they're in middle school.
Okay, so it'll be a while. It'll be a while before they make it.
And I've worked here long enough to That's right. I've been a part of seeing, your family grow up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think either one of your girls was around when I was around.
Oh, no. Not when you first came, I don't think.
I don't know. How about that? Yeah. Time gets away from us, doesn't it?
It does.
And so there's a lot of things in the library that have been going on since we last spoke. And a big thing coming up is the new catalog. What's all that about, TR?
Yeah, we made a decision sometime in the spring, in the late spring of 2011. It's almost been a year now, to start converting our catalog, our online public access catalog that's, OPAC, librarians say OPAC, but to a completely cloud-based or web-based search engine, which will hold all of our data, our book data, all the information about the books, what it's about and how you find it. I like to refer to it as a tag, so you can find the item, and also our patron data and a lot of the circulation data. And it's powered by OCLC, which is this big library company out of Ohio. I can't remember what OCLC stands for.
And I'm not going to remember, TR.
Okay, so
I'm sorry.
Out of Ohio. And basically, they do a lot already with libraries that share resources. So in a sense, it gets us all in the cloud, like the data is no longer hosted locally here at Union, and it helps us to more easily find resources in other libraries and share information about books. It also serves sort of as a federated search, which means that you search everything in the library, both online and in print. In the past, there were two different ways to search. If you were looking for something in the library, like a book, there was one way to search. And if you were looking for an article or something that was online, there was another way. Now, it will try to pull up all of that. Of course, that could get confusing, and we're very much aware of that. So we've started creating some tutorials to help you with best search strategies, and you can just find books. But I think it'll be a lot more dynamic. There's a lot more you can do with it. It interacts with other web interfaces like our RefWorks, our Bibliographic Data Manager, a lot better. So it's going to be an exciting conversion. It hurts to change. And right now it's going to make some of us uncomfortable as we learn new ways of doing things, new ways of doing our jobs. And so we're going to have to sort of go through it and be patient. But I think ultimately it's going to be a really positive thing for us. And that's front and center on the library's homepage. You can see where the new catalog is, and you'll see that our webpage will probably be changing a bit over the next few weeks as we go forward with the launch of this. But it's going to be a really exciting way to search for things in the library, both online and in print.
And just for the record, OCLC stands for Online Computer Library Center.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Paul, you're on the spot.
Yeah, buddy.
He's the one in front of a computer.
Right. Way to go, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
And we've got new books. Melissa, do you know anything about the new books?
I know nothing about the new books. I haven't had time to
You're
look at
You're the reader
new
of
books.
The bunch.
I am the reader, but I don't necessarily read what just came off the pipeline. So.
Right. I meant to – we've got a lot of new books in the library. I mean, we've got –
And new DVDs. Yeah, we've got
we
new
do. What new DVDs do we have?
I have no idea, but we have. But I've
I'm
seen
sure,
some.
I'm
back
sure
there.
We do. Yeah, I'm sure we do. We have Steve Jobs' new biography. We've had that for a little while, actually. But if you haven't read that yet, We do have it in the library. We also have the new Tim Keller book on marriage, if you're interested in that. That's been an important work on marriage. We have a new history of books, actually, that Beth just ordered that looks really, really cool. Interesting. It's like a whole 500-page history of books that we have in the library. So we have a lot more exciting things. And actually, another thing that we'll be doing this spring is using our new OCLC search engine to create new books lists and put them on the web page. I've already done some of that, and I'll continue to do that as we go forward. So there's some exciting things going on in the new library, not to mention the fact that we're all really excited and looking forward to a new building at some point in the next few years.
Right. And
we're breaking ground. Yeah. It's April 12th.
That's April 12th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Breaking
there's
ground.
A ceremony. And so please be there. Mm-hmm. We're looking. So right in the spring, lots of exciting stuff. It's a good time to be here. Spring is on the way.
Yes. And we also have one other new kind of cool thing about to start in the library. And that is the iPad circulation program.
Yeah, this is for students. This is, we're going to be, we've got a couple of iPads. We're going to be keeping them behind the circulation desk. And if you would like to use an iPad in the library or take it to class with you to take notes on, that would be completely fine. You just have to check that out at the circulation desk. It's first come, first serve. Use it to look up resources, read Google Books, read something in iBooks. There's Amazon Kindle app. There are apps for all of our databases. You can save the PDF files to your iBooks account. If you need any help using an iPad, let me know. Schedule a research coach. We both have them, and they're available at the Circ desk too. So, anything else on the
iPad?
It's
going to be exciting. Yeah. I've really enjoyed getting to play with mine and just see all the different possibilities. It's been great.
Yeah, I feel like with the iPad, it's like, you can use it in so many different ways. There are so many different ways that I use mine. It's, you know, not email, watch films, watch PBS, not to mention read books and read articles and check social media and read magazines and all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And one other all kinds of stuff thing in the library is the research coach.
The research coach.
Exactly what is a research coach, Melissa?
Nothing like throwing the ball to me. Well, it's really funny how it got started because TR and I went to lunch with Jenny Lowry, I guess it was October a year ago, and talked about how we might better reach our students because we felt like we had a lot to offer, but just weren't being taken advantage of. Usually you don't want to be taken advantage of, but in this case we did. And so we were just kind of brainstorming at Los Portales over chips and salsa, and somebody at the table threw out the phrase research coach, and we started kind of fleshing it out and thinking about it. And really what it is intended to do is to make TR, myself, more approachable, not quite so intimidating, not quite so scary, to ask for help. A lot of times it can be unnerving to ask for assistance. You may be embarrassed. You may feel like you should know how to do this, or you've already been to the library with your class and you've been shown this and you feel silly asking for assistance. But the idea behind the research coach was to make it very approachable. TR is very down to earth. I think you can tell that. And I'm just a good old Southern gal.
No, you're down to earth. I don't know if down to earth is the best, but I'm friendly, but maybe not down to earth at times.
You know, for some reason, it just really has seemed to strike a chord. The idea is that you can set up a time to meet with one of us and talk about your research needs. And that varies from one student to the next. It varies depending on if you're an undergraduate or a graduate student, if you're a freshman or a senior, what your major is, whether or not you have been in the library ever before in your life. I have had seniors proudly tell me, I've never been in the library before, but now I have an assignment and I need help.
Yeah.
And so that has been really, it seemed to meet a need for students. Either that or everybody likes the idea of going to a coach.
I think that one of the things that when you walk, you know, you have the idea of the library as physical space, and then you have the physical items on the shelves, and then you have all of the digital materials that are on our webpage. But and for us, like, we live in that environment. We spend 40 plus hours a week in that library, probably more than that on our webpage and on our using our interfaces and using. So we know we can know our way around those things. But for somebody who maybe doesn't spend as much time with that as we do, walking in the library can just be overwhelming. Or maybe even just going to the library's webpage, well, where do I go to find what I need? Mm-hmm. And one of our goals is to make that easy to do. I think we were talking about mm-hmm. Apple products. One of the goals of Steve Jobs was to make it so that a 2-year-old can use it. And last night I was actually hanging out with my friend's 20-month-year-old, and he was able to open my iPhone without even... but so one goal is to make the resources user friendly. But the other goal, if it's not, or if there is some level of confusion, to be available. So at least you have somewhere to go where someone is helpful for you and can help you kind of get used to it. And I really think that that's what the research coach is meant to do, is to sort of help you navigate the library's resources and use them to the best.
So how can a student schedule a research coach?
Well, I think they've got a couple of different options. We have a form on the webpage and a research coach that they can fill out. It's very simple. And they can do that, but they can also just contact us directly. TR and I both have phone numbers and email addresses. They're on a new bookmark that you designed, Paul, that's
really?
Floating around
wow.
in the library. But, you know, we're glad for students to contact us directly if they wish, or they can fill out the form if they're not sure.
There's also an email address. It's researchcoach@uu.edu, which we thought would be fairly – no one ever emails that. I've maybe had one or two emails to that email address. Usually people fill out the form, which is actually nice for us because then we can know more about what the topic is, and we just put that on our calendar and set up an appointment. But there is an email address. It's just so easy to remember, researchcoach@uu.edu.
Okay. So after they schedule an appointment with one of you all, what can they expect when they meet with you?
Well, what I tend to do with students is before they ever even come, I ask them to bring the assignment with them when they come. A lot of times students have tried to find the resources they need. Sometimes they even have some, but they don't have enough, or they don't have the ones that they feel like they still need. There's something lacking. And so I ask them to bring those things with them, and we actually talk through the assignment. What are they thinking? What is their goal for the assignment? What types of resources do they need? And then we go from there. Sometimes students don't even really know how to frame their question. They don't really know. They have the assignment in front of them, but they don't really know where they're going to go. They know they have to write on Edgar Allan Poe, but they don't know where to go past that. And so we'll talk about different places to look to generate ideas. Sometimes they know what they want to do. I had a student in this past week who I believe he was a chemistry major, but he's taken World Lit as a part of the core here at Union out of his comfort zone, and that's precisely one of the things the research coaches intended to do. Didn't really know how to do literary research, and so he set up an appointment with me. And in the process of working through that whole process, he had a concept, but he didn't know how to define it. He didn't know how to put it in to get what he wanted.
Right.
It was too abstract. And so we talked about how to concretize his concept, where he wanted to go, some specific directions he could go in. So that's the kind of thing. And it depends on the assignment, how long it takes. Sometimes we can answer the questions they have and find the resources they need in 15 minutes. But usually it's longer than that. Usually it's 30 minutes to an hour. Depending on the topic, depending on what types of resources they need, depending on how far we have to go. Sometimes things are hard to find.
Is this usually a one-time deal with an individual, or do they come back a few times?
I have had lots of repeat customers. I was thinking back to last fall. I had one student who requested a research coach appointment. She was in an upper-level Spanish class.
Mm-hmm.
And knew what she needed to do, but was having trouble finding enough sources. We made an appointment. We found those. Then it turned out she had another assignment in another class. And she said, could I set up a time to meet with you? I think I must have met with her half a dozen times last fall. Sometimes it was just for something specific, like how do I cite this particular item.
Right.
Sometimes it was I found a gap in looking at my outline, and I still need this one resource to support this point. So sometimes they're repeat customers. And to me, that's part of the attraction of the research coach. I've been doing work like this since I came to Union 20 years ago. It hadn't had that title, but this is what I have done, and it's what I enjoy. To me, one of the greatest benefits is the relationships that we build with the students. I really enjoy interacting with students. I think we have great students here at Union, and I actually develop friendships. Right now, one student that I helped about a year ago is in Spain, and I'm following her journey on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it expands my appreciation for Union and helps me to know better the students here and know how to serve them.
Right. Now, in the process of researching and collecting materials and contacting you all, when do you recommend someone see you all? Is it at the beginning, the middle, toward the end, or when they're having problems? What works best for UTR?
Well, I really see this developing. One of the ways that I've been really pleased that the research coach has developed is the way that I've been able to work with the professor. So Melissa so well put that a lot of it has to do with understanding the topic and understanding the project and understanding what the student is trying to do with their particular thesis paper, their project, or their paper. And so working with the faculty sort of along all through the process. So the best case scenario, I think, is that they don't, like anything, don't procrastinate. But if you come early, I think it can ultimately make the student's life a lot easier in the sense that they're able to sort of get the resources from the beginning, start reading, start taking notes, and just it'll make their paper or whatever project or whatever research or study they're doing go a lot smoother. So I would say the earlier the better. But sometimes it can be something that's sort of in conjunction with the faculty and based on the way that the class flows and the way that the course flows. Another thing that we do is we do instructions for English classes. So a lot of times we will, Melissa or I or others, but primarily Melissa or I will present in an English class for freshmen, and then they will follow up with us. And having seen our presentation or been in our instruction, will then want to follow up and have a more one-on-one type research coach meeting to help them get started.
And I know how busy you all were just last semester from just seeing the number of people in your offices at various times. So have you all been satisfied with the amount of work? Have you been overworked? Do you want more? What's going on with
Well, I think if we didn't want more, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And I've always said, you know, I think I sometimes feel the tension between getting projects done and helping people. But for me, I think one of the reasons that I think it might be the reason why I went into librarianship as a career was because I really love working with people and also working with learning and being around learning. So I love helping people. And so to me, this is the apex of what I do. And so the more people that I can work with and the more involved with the research and the learning process I can be, the happier I am. So the more the merrier. I mean, obviously there's only one, you know, there's only two of us. And so we do what we can, but we've been busy and it's been really, really enjoyable and really, really rewarding.
Let me tag something onto that. Part of our goal as a research coach is for the end result to be that the student is an independent learner.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they won't ever need to ask for help, but that their confidence would be built up. So I do everything from hand them the keyboard and the mouse and say, I'm going to tell you where to go, but I want you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that they take some ownership, asking them questions instead of telling them where to go, asking them, what do you think about, and trying to get them to think. Because the goal is for that student, and I said I had repeat students, and I do, but they're not coming back to me with the same question.
Right.
It's further on down the road. It's something, a little ticky maybe about citing something. It's something they haven't had that experience yet. But the goal is to have that student be able to stand on their own. And so when they are in, maybe they're in English 201 in the fall, and when they're in 202 in the spring, they're still doing literary research. They're still not an English major, but they know how to use those literary resources. Right. But then when they have to take their chemistry class, they may come back and say, I don't know, you know, I'm a chemistry major. I need to know in depth how to use these resources. So building the relationship is important, but that's our goal as independent learners. So if we're successful in that, we do need new customers, as it were. Mm-hmm. We need others to come to us and need us. And I'll say something else, kind of tag on to what TR said earlier about when they should come. It's really important that they come early because, number one, we do get busier as the semester goes on. But a lot of times students have their assignment in the first few weeks of class. They know they have to write a paper. It may not be due till Thanksgiving, but they know they have a paper. It's really important that they start their research early, whether it's independent or it's with a research coach, and they start to collect their resources, because if they need to use interlibrary loan and get resources from another library because we don't have the full text of that article or we don't have that brand new book that's out on their topic, we need time to get those resources in. They don't have to, if they're really good and diligent, they will start reading them and making notes and all. But it may just be a matter of collecting those resources early on. I think that's important.
And to add on something I think Melissa said so well, it's really about empowerment. I can't remember the saying, but what is it? Teach a man to fish, give a man a fish, teach a man to fish.
Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Right. So our goal is to teach you to fish.
Or research.
Research. And so it's a matter. So I actually have a wireless keyboard and mouse that connects with my computer in my office. So I try to, as much as I can, hand the student the reins so they're learning how this process. So after maybe they develop a sense of empowerment, like, I know how to use the library's resources. I know how to do research now. I know how to find what I'm looking for. And not just that, but also incorporate that into, scholarly level writing. Right. And so I think that's the thing, empowerment.
So are there any moments or memories that stand out in your minds that you've experienced with Research Coach, Melissa?
I don't know of any particular memories. It's really more the faces. Mm-hmm. It's the individuals. Last semester, I will say that the young lady that was in the upper level Spanish course, after she met with me once, within like, I don't know, maybe 2 hours of our meeting and our coach appointment, I got an email from a classmate of hers saying, you just met with so-and-so that's a classmate of mine, and it helped her so much. I want to meet with you too because I'm doing the same project and I'm kind of stumped too. Well, I love that kind of word of mouth.
Right.
And those girls were flagging me down in the library the whole rest of the semester just to say hi, which was great. And so for me, it's about the individuals and how you can build those relationships.
I agree. It's really relational. The one moment for me was I helped a student who's graduated now, and he's actually getting married this March, but really, really great young man. And I helped him with a paper on the national parks, like the wildlife refuge. I think it was Yosemite National Park. Anyway, and he went home for vacation and came back, and he brought me Trader Joe's coffee and almond butter. As a gift
right
for him.
Right up TR's alley.
Right, exactly. And we had some connections because he was. But there was another.
So TR's in it for gifts.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Let me make a list of the things. I'll be posting a blog of things I like. No. In all seriousness, no. There was another student who was doing an upper level research project on the French Revolution, and I just really enjoyed working with him. And part of it was his personality, and I think he's such an interesting young man. But also because I get interested in these topics too. I love the subjects too. I love reading and I love looking at the resources. And so I learn a lot throughout the process as well.
I would agree. I think that's part of why both of us have become research coaches, reference librarians, whatever label you want to slap on it, is because we enjoy learning. Mm-hmm. I will say too, and you asked about a memory. Last fall, I met with our BSOL program. I did their instruction for their entire class. And there were two men in that class. Those are non-traditional students. They're older students. A lot of times they're not as comfortable with technology. They're not as confident. And at the same time, they're busier. They're juggling families, jobs, and so forth. And they're very driven. And there were two men in that orientation class that I ended up helping on a variety of projects throughout the course of last fall. And I thoroughly expect to hear from them in the spring as they look for other sources. But it gave me such a feeling of I'm doing something right, because both of them said to me how much what I shared with them, both in the classroom setting and then one-on-one, helped them to feel good about their experience at Union. Mm-hmm. That they can feel very overwhelmed, and to have somebody willing to spend one-on-one time with them and help them with what seems to be a little thing to a lot of people, but to them it was really important. And I felt so good about being able to help them have a positive experience and enrich them and help them to feel like they've excelled at something, that they have done something well.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's really important.
Yeah. And, of course, as research coaches, you all deal with a lot of different students in a lot of different majors and a lot of different classes.
Right.
And I know you all do instructions with the English class, so you may see English students more than you do others, but maybe not. What is one of the subjects that you all see probably more than another?
Well, we kind of... It almost by default, I think TR gets most of the Christian studies because he has his master's. Where is it from, TR?
It's from Reformed Theological Seminary.
Is it an MTS?
No. It's an MATS, which is just Master's in Theological
Studies. And I'm just married to a preacher, so I don't have that expertise. So I tend to send the Christian studies people to and philosophy people to TR. The English people come to me because that was my major undergrad. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of the, I get most of the education students as well for just from a longstanding relationships with that department.
And I think Melissa and I both, and one of the things that I like about being a librarian, and Melissa touched on this, is that we enjoy learning, but also enjoy learning in a broad sphere. So we don't have to specialize as much being librarians like some of the other teaching and research faculty do. We get to sort of dabble in across the board from philosophy to chemistry, although I don't know much about chemistry, but to history, to political science. And so a lot of it is based on some of the connections that we might make with certain faculty, some of the departments that we liaison with. I've tended to meet a lot of with a lot of students from theology and from philosophy, but I also have met with a lot of the linguistics, applied linguistics students, and that's been a really good experience. But it's not; it's more of a social science based topic, and so it has stretched me. I've learned a lot through it because I wasn't as versed in it when I came, and it's kind of broadened my world. So I've kind of grown. Through that as well.
And what other topics would you all like to see?
Well, I was going to say, I have a special project this spring is that I want to rein in some history students because I haven't seen any history students that need research coaching.
I've seen one or two, and I was a history major as an undergrad at Rollins, and so I did my senior, you know, topic on English, the English Civil War, and I just really enjoy the topic of history and doing historical research, and that was where my initial training was, and in a very traditional way too, was sort of started. And so I think doing more history. I was going to say the exact same thing. So
I would say history, and I'd like to see more psychology students and social work students. I have helped some, but I would like to help more.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, Paul, it has to do with what the major is. I mean, obviously math and computer science majors don't do a lot of paper writing.
Right.
So we don't expect to see those. Mm-hmm. But we have we do instructions with a lot of the upper levels, say chemistry, nursing, biology. And I think they must get what they need, by and large, in those instruction sessions. Because we don't get a lot of calls for research coaching in those areas.
I would like to say, and I think that the academic paper is still the heart of what students do, but that you don't have to be writing a paper just to be able to use a Very research true. Coach. Like I'd mm-hmm. like to frame it where we could be available and develop the kind of technology skills and kind of other skills that would be helpful for other types of topics, whether it just be I'm doing a presentation, but I need to do a survey.
Right.
So I'm looking for a particular instrument.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm putting together a PowerPoint. I need mm-hmm. some facts to back up my assertions.
Right. And so other things like that, we mm-hmm. can try to look through that. So, yeah. Political science as well. My minor was political science. And I think that's some of that starting to kind of happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously a wonderful service that the library provides for the students. And you, too, are more than willing and eager to assist students. And so all they have to do to make an appointment is to either go online to the Research Coach page and fill that out, or email you or call you, or just if you happen to be walking around the library,
exactly.
walk up to the
tag
front
desk.
And
say, we have had a lot of students do that, who will walk up and say, is a research coach available? Mm-hmm. And we're glad for students to do that. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're not, because mm-hmm. there's only two of us, and we do have other responsibilities. We may be out of the office doing an instruction. TR spent one day this week in German, in the Alfred Center
yes.
in Memphis, working with students there. And so
I'll actually be in California next week with the students.
Right. And so it may be that we're not available at that moment, but that doesn't mean that we're not willing to meet with them. I know that TR and I both have come in the evening or on the weekend to meet with students. We try as best we can to meet at a time that's convenient for them. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's really important, I just can't stress enough how important it is for them to seek us early.
Right.
I don't know that I would want a student to come in not having done anything.
Right.
I've got the assignment. It's hot off the press. I haven't even tried to look
right.
yet, unless they're just saying, where should I start?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to hand you, here's your stack of research. Here's what you've ordered. It's intended to teach
right.
the student how to do it themselves.
Right. So it's a great program, and we encourage mm-hmm. anyone who wants to take advantage of it to take advantage
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
And a lot busier days for you all ahead, which
yes.
is a good thing.
Looks
it
that
is
way.
A good thing.
Looks that way.
If I could just clone myself, I'd be happy.
And, Paul, a lot of busy days ahead for you as well.
Sure.
Yeah. yeah. We've got all kind of creative projects
That's
coming
right.
down the line,
That's
Paul.
Right. Do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And remember, the summer library.
Well,
oh, Paul
library, just wanted to thank Melissa for coming
sure.
and being our special guest today on our season 2 premiere.
Well, now that I've been in the pod booth, I won't be so intimidated.
That's
maybe
right.
Next
no,
time.
You did very well.
You did very well.
You're sweet.
And yes.
See, only a Southern girl would say you're sweet, not
right.
you're kind.
No, I like that. I like Southern girls.
Yeah, so we'll end right there.
Did you
there.
Hear that, single ladies?
No,
TR
no,
likes
no, 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 don't go there.
Okay, so
okay.
as we were about to say, the summer library.
Where studying every day
could help you perform better academically.
Or scheduling a research coach could help you perform
better
academically.
Absolutely.
We'll
so
see you next time.
All right,
have
take
a great
care.
Spring semester.
That's right.